Welcome to the Soulful Podcast. I am your host, Megan Harmony, a champion at overcoming the tough stuff and enjoying life while rising above it. Soulful living means getting to a place of ease and comfort, no matter what's happening around you. It is waking up excited about what adventures you will go on. It's connecting to the power within you as your source of strength, grace, and security. It's being uncomfortable during growth spurts and leaning into the stretch. Each week, I will share with you about my journey and the experiences I have had. I'll offer you hope and inspiration that it is possible to live a full life, even when the you-know-what is hitting the fan. I believe that love is a language we can all understand, and I want to inspire you to trust and believe in yourself. Your soul is hungry for more. Lean in to get soul full. Welcome back to the third of a four-part series on Back to Basics, Walking Through the Steps. In the last two episodes of the podcast, we covered steps 1, 2, 3, and 4, and we're going to continue to move forward today. But first, I want to let you guys know my group program, Soulful, is open for enrollment until September 8th. If you're feeling stuck, lost, and broken, this program is exactly what you need. It includes Arcturian Reiki, card readings, weekly trainings, all kinds of things to help you guys go from those feelings of stuck and broken to feeling absolutely on fire in your life, passionate, believing in yourself, and making decisions from your soul. So get a hold of me for details. Now on with our program for the day. This is the third in a series of four Alcoholics Anonymous beginners meetings. It is the fall of 1946, and we are attending AA meetings during which newcomers are taking the 12 steps in 4 one-hour sessions. For those who are planning to lead these beginners meetings, we want to assure you there are no hard and fast rules on how to conduct them. The format we are using is our interpretation of the written and oral histories of old-timers who attended and led these meetings in the 1940s. Please feel free to modify or adapt this format to fit your specific needs. But keep in mind, the closer you stay to the original program, the closer you'll get to the extraordinary success of AA's early days. Welcome to session number 3 of the AA Beginners Meetings. Together, we're taking the 12 steps as described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Our objective is to make conscious contact with the power greater than human power that will free us from the deadly affliction of alcoholism. My name is Megan, and I am a member of the 12-Step Fellowships. I'm here to guide you on your journey toward a spiritual solution to your drinking problem. In the last 2 weeks, we have taken steps 1 through 4. Hopefully, during the past week, each newcomer has taken the 5th step with his or her sponsor or sharing partner. Let's see who's on track. On the beam, as some of us like to say. Will those who have shared a 4-step inventory please with another person or persons, please say so. Congratulations. We commend you for having the willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness to do what is necessary to recover from alcoholism. You are well on your way to that promised spiritual awakening. We want you to know that everything you read and hear tonight is for your benefit. You've done the work, now you will receive the rewards. As we said last week, we don't care who did the writing, just as long as you and your sponsor or sharing partner came up with a list of shortcomings and a list of individuals and organizations to whom you need to make amends. You will turn over your shortcomings to the God of your understanding in steps 6 and 7 and make restitution to those you've harmed in steps 8 and 9. We are entering the phase of the program where more and more actions are required. These actions produce results. Many of these results are in the form of promises, which, as our lives change, become an integral part of our spiritual being. If our lives didn't get better, why would we want to stay sober? If all we had to look forward to was restlessness, irritability, and discontentment, why do the work? AA offers so much more than just freedom from alcohol. We have found a new way of living, far more beautiful than anything we ever could have imagined. That's why we take the steps, and that's why we take them again and again. Before we move on to step 6, 7, 8, and 9, let's review what the big book authors have to say about the fifth step. This is the step during which God reveals to us, with the help of another person, the shortcomings that have been blocking us from the sunlight of the Spirit. Step 5. Admit it to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. On page 72, starting with the ninth line in the second paragraph, the big book authors tell us why we need to admit our liabilities to another person. The best reason first. If we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, newcomers have tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. Trying to avoid this humbling experience, they have turned to easier methods. Almost invariably, they got drunk. Having persevered with the rest of the program, they wondered why they fell. We think the reason is that they never completed their house cleaning. They took inventory all right, but hung on to some of the worst items in stock. They only thought they had lost their egoism and fear. They only thought they had humbled themselves. But they had not learned enough of humility, fearlessness, and honesty, in the sense we find it necessary, until they told someone else all their life story. Once again, the big book authors instruct us to take stock. In other words, to conduct a commercial inventory of our life. They ask us to look at the assets of humility, fearlessness, and honesty, and the liabilities of egoism and fear. We share our inventory because we are great at self-deception. Aren't we the ones who used to say we didn't have a drinking problem? Didn't we tell ourselves over and over that we were doing fine as we were sinking deeper and deeper into the abyss of alcoholism? Since we're not good judges of character, especially our own, we confide in someone else. Only another person can see us as we really are. As we explained last week, we can share our checklist with any number of people. Some of those mentioned on page 74 of the Big Book are church leaders, doctors, psychologists, and friends. The person we choose has to be closed-mouthed, trustworthy, and supportive. He or she must never discuss our inventory with a third party. On page 74, starting with the seventh line in the second paragraph, the Big Book authors write, "It is important that he be able to keep a confidence, that he fully understand and approve what we are driving at, that he will not try to change our plan." The authors give us specific instructions for taking the fifth step. In the first paragraph on page 75, they tell us to take action immediately. When we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. We have a written inventory and we are prepared for a long talk. We explain to our partner what we are about to do and why we have to do it. He should realize that we are engaged upon a life and death errand. Most people approached in this way will be glad to help. They will be honored by our confidence. In the second paragraph on page 75, they provide us with additional directions. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Then the big book authors announce that once we admit our shortcomings, our lives will change. We begin to experience a transformation of thought and attitude. On page 75, starting with the second line in the second paragraph, they describe some of these changes. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we were on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. We are well on our way toward recovering from alcoholism. The authors state that we are in the process of having a spiritual experience, and as a result, our obsession to drink is being removed. It is now time to ask the God of our understanding to remove the blocks we identified in steps 4 and 5. Let's proceed to the sixth step. Step 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. In this step, the Big Book authors have us answer a simple question. On page 76, starting with the third line in the first paragraph, they ask, are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. So according to the Big Book authors, it is decision time once again. We realize they want you to take your sixth step on the same evening you share your fourth step with your sponsor or sharing partner. In case he or she didn't take you through the sixth step, we'll take you through it now. If you have already taken the sixth step, we ask that you take it again now with the group. During the fifth step, we identified our liabilities using one of the checklists we described last week. In the sixth step, we make the preparations necessary to turn these shortcomings over to the God of our understanding. Let's start with a moment of silence so we can ask God to remove the liabilities that we found were blocking us when we shared our inventory. These are the items on the left side of our assets and liabilities checklist that have marks to the right of them. If we are still holding on to some of these shortcomings, we pray for the willingness to let go of them. We'll take that moment of silence now. Now, will those who have taken steps 1 through 5 please say aye? This is the sixth step question. Are you now ready to let God remove from you all the things which you have admitted are objectionable? Please answer yes or no. Thank you. According to the Big Book authors, those who answered yes to this question have taken step 6 and are ready to move on to the seventh step. Step 7. Humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. This step is straightforward. It consists of a prayer in which we ask God to remove our liabilities and strengthen our assets so we can be of maximum service to all. This prayer is found in the second paragraph on page 76. It reads, my Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We would like those who are now ready to take the seventh step to read the prayer along with us. Let's read the seventh step prayer together. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. According to the Big Book authors, we have taken step 7. Now, it's time to clear away the wreckage of our past. We do this by making amends or restitution. Step 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. The Big Book authors state, made a list. Do we need to make this list? Actually, no. We compiled our list as part of our fourth step. In the third paragraph on page 76, they confirm this. Now we need more action, without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. We have a list of all persons we have harmed and to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. That's why we hold on to our fourth step inventory. It contains our eighth step amends list. Referring to our assets and liabilities checklist, our amends are the names at the top of the page that have one or more marks under them. We congratulate those who came up with the list of individuals and organizations to whom you are willing to make amends. According to the Big Book authors, you have taken step 8. Let's move on to the ninth step. Step 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. The amends process is explained in detail on pages 76 through 83. On page 76, starting with the sixth line in the third paragraph, the Big Book authors tell us what we need to do. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. We attempt to sweep away the debris which has accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Remember, it was agreed at the beginning, we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. We may be hesitant to make amends to those who are still upset with us or suspicious of our motives. In the fourth paragraph on page 76, the authors provide us with guidelines on how to approach these individuals. Probably there are still some misgivings. As we look over the list of business acquaintances and friends we have hurt, we may feel diffident about going to some of them on a spiritual basis. Let us be reassured. To some people we need not, and probably should not, emphasize the spiritual feature of our first approach. We might prejudice them. At the moment, we are trying to put our lives in order, but this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. In the last sentence on this paragraph, the authors explicitly state our purpose for living. They maintain that we are here to serve God and our fellows. Then, on page 77, the Big Book authors ask us to let our actions, rather than our words, demonstrate that we have changed. Starting with the fourth line from the top of the page, they write, "It is seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him and announce that we have got religious. In the prize ring, this would be called leading with the chin. Why lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores? We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message. But our man is sure to be impressed with a sincere desire to set right the wrong. He is going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than in our talk of spiritual discoveries." One of the most difficult amends to make is to someone we genuinely don't like. But whether we like the person or not, we must proceed. On page 77, starting with the ninth line in the first paragraph, we find, "Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret." In the second paragraph on page 77, the Big Book authors even provide us with instructions on what to say. "Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so, never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result." The authors make it clear what we are to do about our debts, which is to pay them. We may not like the sacrifice required to make good on our bills, but sacrifice we must. The process forces us to rely on God for the strength and courage to make good on past misdeeds. Under God's direction, we find it much easier to make restitution than we ever thought possible. In the second paragraph on page 78, they state, "Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we are trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them." Keep in mind that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is facing the fear and walking through it. In the first paragraph on page 79, the Big Book authors instruct us to let the God of our understanding be our guide. This reliance upon God is essential if we are to outgrow the fears that have separated us from the one who has all power. Although these reparations take innumerable forms, there are some general principles which we find guiding. Reminding ourselves that we have decided to go to any lengths to find a spiritual experience, we ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. We may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything. The authors suggest we ask others for help before we make some of our more difficult amends. We need direction, preferably from someone who understands the inventory and restitution process. In the first paragraph on page 80, they caution us not to create further harm as we clean up our side of the street. Before taking drastic action, which might implicate other people, we secure their consent. If we have obtained permission, have consulted with others, asked God to help, and the drastic step is indicated, we must not shrink. In the first paragraph on page 82, we are again advised to seek God's aid as we make good on our past misdeeds. Perhaps there are some cases where the utmost frankness is demanded. No outsider can appraise such an intimate situation. It may be that both will decide that the way of good sense and loving kindness is to let bygones be bygones. Each might pray about it, having the other one's happiness uppermost in mind. This is an example of how we must be tactful and considerate of others as we make our amends. No one said it would be easy. It just has to be done. On page 82, starting with the second line in the second paragraph, the Big Book authors emphatically state that stopping drinking is only the beginning. We must take additional actions if we are to recover from alcoholism. Sometimes we hear an alcoholic say that the only thing he needs to do is to keep sober. Certainly he must keep sober, for there will be no home if he doesn't. But he is yet a long way from making good to the wife or parents whom for years he has so shockingly treated. The alcoholic is like a tornado, roaring his way through the lives of others. Hearts are broken, sweet relationships are dead, affections have been uprooted, selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. We feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. Not drinking is not enough. The authors make that perfectly clear. Starting with the first paragraph on page 83, they write, "Yes, there is a long period of reconstruction ahead. We must take the lead. A remorseful mumbling that we are sorry won't fill the bill at all. We ought to sit down with the family and frankly analyze the past as we now see it, being very careful not to criticize them. Their defects may be glaring, but the chances are that our own actions are partly responsible. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love." Here we are told that in order to recover from alcoholism, We have to live the AA program. So we don't just take the steps, we live the steps on a daily basis. In the third paragraph on page 83, the Big Book authors give us directions on what to do if we can't make amends to someone face to face. There may be some wrongs we can never fully right. We don't worry about them if we can honestly say to ourselves that we would right them if we could. Some people cannot be seen. We send them an honest letter. The authors conclude the ninth step with another list of benefits. On page 83, starting with the fourth paragraph, they tell us precisely what is going to happen once we commence to clear away the wreckage of our past. They describe these benefits as promises. The Big Book is filled with promises. These are just a few of them. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. What a message of hope! It is almost beyond comprehension that all of these wonderful events will come to pass if we just make amends to those whom we have harmed. But they will happen. That's a guarantee. Dr. Bob, our Akron, Ohio co-founder, learned that he could not stay sober until he made his amends. He accomplished this in one day. On page 156, starting with the first paragraph, we read about Dr. Bob's ninth step. One morning, he took the bull by the horns and set out to tell those he feared what his trouble had been. He found himself surprisingly well received and learned that many knew of his drinking. Stepping into his car, he made the rounds of people he had hurt. He trembled as he went about, for this might mean ruin, particularly to a person in his line of business. At midnight, he came home exhausted, but very happy. He has not had a drink since. This concludes our presentation of step 9. For the newcomer, part of your assignment for the next week is to start making amends to those on your list. If you are not sure how to proceed with a specific amends, ask your sponsor or sharing partner for help. Next week, we will look at steps 10, 11, and 12. But before we end this session, we need to lay the groundwork for the 11th step. This is a step that puts us in direct contact with the spiritual solution to our drinking problem. Step 11 reads, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Many AAs refer to prayer and meditation as two-way prayer. Prayer is talking to God, and meditation is listening to God. We listen in order to receive guidance from the one who has all knowledge and power. The Big Book authors have been preparing us for this conscious contact with the God of our understanding by interspersing reference about two-way prayer throughout the book. So before we look ahead to the 11th step, we're going to look back at some of the previous Big Book passages that refer to guidance. Let's start by defining guidance. The dictionary tells us that to guide means to lead, direct, influence, or regulate. Two synonyms are to disclose and to show. When we look in the Big Book for passages that refer to guidance, we find there are at least 18 of them. We just read one of them a few minutes ago. Let's go back to page 83 and re-examine the last sentence in the first paragraph. So we clean house with the family, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. In this passage, the Big Book authors instruct us to conduct a daily quiet time. It is during this period of meditation that God will show us, in other words, God will guide us to a new way of living based on the assets of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. There are many more references to guidance, starting all the way back at the first step. We're only going to mention a few of them. On page 13 in Bill's story, our New York City co-founder writes about prayer and meditation. Starting with the third line in the fourth paragraph, Bill explains, "I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problems as He would have me." When we ask God for direction and strength, we are calling upon the Spirit of the universe for the guidance and power to overcome our difficulties. In other words, when God guides, God provides. It is essential that we sit quietly, especially during periods of stress or uncertainty, so we can clearly hear what God has to say. Meditation is based on the belief that God speaks to those who are willing to listen. We write down the thoughts and ideas we receive so we can separate and take action on the guidance that comes from infinite God rather than our finite selves. How do we determine the source of our guidance? We use the test we described last week, which is the AA test for self-will. The Big Book authors show us how to use this test three times. In the fourth step, we apply the test in connection with our assets and liabilities checklist to determine if we need to make amends. We also use this test in our 10th and 11th steps. Let's look again at how the authors use the AA test for self-will in the fourth step. Test for self-will. Selfishness, dishonesty, self-seeking, frightened. Test for God's will, unselfishness, honesty, purity, and love. We use essentially the same test to examine what we put on paper during our quiet time. If what we have written is honest, pure, unselfish, and loving, we can conclude that this guidance is in keeping with God's will for us. If what we have written is dishonest, resentful, selfish, or fearful, we can assume this guidance is based on self-will rather than God's will. We take action only on the guidance that passes all four elements of the test for God's will. On page 57, starting with the third line in the second paragraph, the Big Book authors state that God is constantly being revealed to us. He has come to all who have honestly sought Him. When we drew near to Him, He disclosed Himself to us. When we seek God's guidance, we find a new power, peace, happiness, and direction beyond our wildest dreams. As we will learn next week, our Creator speaks directly to us through inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. On page 69, starting with the sixth line in the third paragraph, we find another reference to two-way prayer. In meditation, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. The right answer will come if we want it. When we ask specific questions, we receive specific answers. In the second paragraph on page 70, we are told what to ask for. We earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity, and for the strength to do the right thing. These are just a few examples from the Big Book on prayer and meditation. They are sufficient to get us started. We now know what we need to do in order to live in the realm of the Spirit. We're going to provide you with some additional material on how to establish a conscious contact with the God of your understanding. In the late 1930s, a friend of Dr. Bob's wrote a short essay titled, How to Listen to God. It is one of the clearest set of instructions we have found on how to practice the 11th step. We will briefly take you through this four-page pamphlet. It contains universal spiritual principles that can be applied by anyone or everyone interested in a spiritual way of life. We suggest you conduct your daily meditation based on these guidelines. Next session, let me know what happened. In the opening paragraphs, the author states that prayer and meditation will change our lives. These are a few simple suggestions for people who are willing to make an experiment. You can discover for yourself the most important and practical thing any human being can ever learn: how to be in touch with God. All that is needed is the willingness to try it honestly. Every person who has done this consistently and sincerely has found that it really works. We have found that two-way prayer works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. With time and practice, it will gradually become a working part of the mind. At the bottom of the first page, the author provides us with directions for conducting a quiet time. Anyone can be in touch with God anywhere and at any time if the conditions are obeyed. These are the conditions: to be quiet and still, to listen, to be honest about every thought that comes, to test the thoughts to be sure they come from God, to obey. Within the remaining pages of the pamphlet, the author explains each of these conditions in detail. In the middle of the second page, he encourages us to record our thoughts and ideas. Write. Here is the important key to the whole process. Write down everything that comes into your mind. Everything. Writing is simply a means of recording so that you can remember later. On the third page, he explains how to distinguish between God-directed and self-directed guidance. Test. Take a good look at what you have written. Not every thought we have comes from God, so we need to test our thoughts. Here is where the written record helps us to be able to look at them. Are these thoughts completely honest, pure, unselfish, and loving? Are these thoughts in line with our duties to our family, to our community? Are these thoughts in line with our understanding of the teachings found in our spiritual literature? The author of the pamphlet asks us to test our guidance using the four standards of honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love. This test will help us determine if what we have written is consistent with God's will or self-will. Next, the author instructs us to check what we have put on paper. Here is where your sponsor or sharing partner can be very helpful. Check. When in doubt and when it is important, what does another person who is living two-way prayer think about this thought or action? More light comes in through two windows than one. Someone else who also wants God's plan for our lives may help us see more clearly. Talk over together what you have written. Many people do this. They tell each other what guidance has come. This is the secret of unity. There are always three sides to every question: your side, my side, and the right side. Guidance shows us which is the right side, not who is right, but what is right. Then the author explains what, to many of us, is the most difficult part of all. Obey. Carry out the thoughts that have come. You will only be sure of guidance as you go through with it. A rudder will not guide a boat until the boat is moving. As you obey, very often the results will convince you that you are on the right track. Remember, our Creator has given us free will. We're free not to listen to the God-directed messages we receive, but we must be prepared to accept the consequences if we choose not to follow God's plan for our lives. If we don't receive any definite thoughts or ideas during our meditation, this is a sign we have additional work to do. There may still be things in ourselves which have been blocking us. Blocks. If I am not receiving thoughts when I listen, the fault is not God's. Usually it's because there is something I will not do, something wrong in my life that I will not face and make right, a habit or indulgence I will not give up, a person I will not forgive, a wrong relationship in my life I will not give up, a restitution I will not make, something God has already told me to do that I will not obey. Look this list over. These items are described in the Big Book as part of the inventory and restitution process. If you have been thorough and honest in steps 4 through 9, you will have removed the blocks that have prevented you from establishing and maintaining a two-way relationship with the God of your understanding. So you have 2 assignments for this week. Start making amends to those you've harmed and start practicing prayer and meditation on a daily basis. Write down your guidance and discuss it with your sponsor or sharing partner. Also bring it with you to the next session. As for the results, they are summarized at the bottom of the 4th page of the How to Listen to God pamphlet. There is a way of life for everyone, everywhere. Anyone can be in touch with the living God, anywhere, anytime, if we fulfill his conditions. When man listens, God speaks. When man obeys, God acts. This is the law of prayer. By making amends, you will convert the barriers that have separated you from others to bridges of reconciliation. By listening to the God of your understanding, you will be given the strength, inspiration, and direction to change lives, starting with your own. Miracles are about to occur, and I look forward to hearing about them. Tune in next week for steps 10, 11, and 12, and the last of this 4-part series, The Beginner's Meetings, Back to Basics. Everything in this week's episode comes out of the book Back to Basics by Wally P. I do not have any claims to the work. I just know he wants it to be shared with the world so that everyone can recover from alcoholism, but it can be applied for any problem. Please substitute the words alcohol and alcoholism for whatever substance or problem that you are trying to overcome. And I look forward to meeting with you next week. Until we meet again, lean in to get soulful. Thank you for meeting me soul to soul today on the Soulful Podcast. If this episode connected with you and you feel called to, please share it with your friends and family so they can feel the love as well. Also, don't forget to hit subscribe on your podcast player so you get notified when new episodes drop. Please leave a rating and comment so I know what's touching your soul the most and can bring you more of what you long for. If you have suggestions for topics or would like me to speak at your event, please connect with me at soulfullsobriety@gmail.com. Thank you for your love and support in helping me connect with more souls to remind them they are divine, capable, and loved. You're the best. Go out looking at the world through the lens of love.